Well, it's very, very wonderful to have the opportunity to share something that is on my heart, that I sense that we need to know, and we need to revisit once in a while and find out where this thing is coming from and who we're receiving it from. You know, life has been challenging for many people, and yet, what voices were we listening to? What voices were we listening to? Were we listening from the Holy Spirit, or were we listening through what people were saying, through circumstances? And where are we heading to? Well, last week, Brother Mike shared, we're not looking back. We're looking forward. And that's an exciting thing. The theme of what we're hearing from the Lord is truth. You know, and in the world, and even in some of our lives, at different times, all of us, we look at truth in this way. You have your truth, and I have mine. What's true for me may not be true for you. That's an interesting way to look at things. Right, Annabelle? What's true for you might not be true for me, and vice versa. However, is that the truth? This is why in the world today we have so much chaos. Because every person, every nation, every government has their own truth. They're looking at things through a certain lens. We look at things through a certain lens. But what is truth? Well, I have some notes here that I'll probably be reading quite a bit because it was so interesting. And I'll try to read it with a little voice fluctuation so it won't be so boring. But the thing about it is, we need to know what is truth. Because we want to move forward. We don't want to stay in the same place. We don't want to hear the voices that's talking behind you right now saying blah, 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 blah. We want to hear the true voice of Almighty God. In every situation. Not just in the, gee, that's nice, I really want to hear that. But even in the hard time. Because the truth will set you free at the end of the day. So sometimes, you know, Tim will come and say, Randy, the Lord's given me a word for you. And it's truth, because it's from the Lord. And it might not be what I really want to hear. So is that truth? Well, it depends. It depends on how I receive it. It is from the Lord. I know my brother's full of the Holy Ghost. He's a man that loves me. He's talked to me before. He's encouraged me. He's lifted me up. He's also a couple times had to speak into my life a little bit. But I really like the good things, but I had to work with the little things right here and there. Truth will set you free. And it's really, really good. In Isaiah 65:16, we get the example. Whoever invokes a blessing in the land will do so by the one true God. Whoever takes an oath in the land will swear by the one true God. For the past troubles will be forgotten and hidden from my eyes. God only has good things for you and good things for me. That's the truth. That's the truth. He only has good things for you and good things for me. All things are for our good at the end of the day. Now, that's one little word. Forgive me if I say at the end of the day, because I've heard it so many times, it kind of comes out. It's one of the terms I actually dislike, and I use it too much myself. In 1 John 5:20, here's another example. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Wow. We could almost stop there. And if we just realize that we have one true God, all truth comes from God. And what's another phrase you hear? Every man's a liar. Oftentimes you hear that. But if we're filled with the Holy Ghost and the Word, and we're receiving things from God, we share truth because we love our brothers and our sisters. We love our friends who need to hear about Jesus. And that's the beautiful thing about it. In the Webster Dictionary, truth is like this. The body of real things, events, and facts, actuality, things that actually happen. Living on earth, we know that if you go up, you will come down. It's the truth. I'm still working on the going up part, but eventually you come down. It's just gravity. It's just the way things are. That's a fact. And the other aspect of things is a transcendent, fundamental, and spiritual reality. We are called to live in the Spirit. Not how we feel, not what we think, but live in the Spirit in every situation and seek God. God, please, your Holy Spirit's here to comfort me, guide me, lead me to all, what? All truth. So that's how we're supposed to live practically in our lives. That's an exciting thing. That is a great thing. Show me, Lord. Show me. Let me step in your ways, God. Let me not step in my own. It brings so much joy to us when we come to that place where it's a true statement. It's actually true. And then I was talking about some websites and different things and technology, and sometimes I forget the words. It is Wikipedia that I found some of this information that I'm going to share with you. And it's BibleStudyTools.com, Dictionary Truth. You got that? This is where I got this information from. And it was so awesome, I just had to share some of it with you. It says here, the scripture, truth is characterized both qualitative, in a qualitative and quantitative aspects. So there's quality to the truth. If it's from God, it's real. It shows you the way you should go. It shows you what the circumstance is and why the circumstance is such as it is. But it's there. There's quality to it. It's for your good. I didn't say you might like it or not, I said, but it is for your good. Truth. For example, there's a few examples here in Genesis 42. You have where Joseph desired to test his brother to see if what they were saying was true, if they confessed their sins and showing what they had done to him, and they confessing their sins in the way it was. And he tested them to see if what they were saying was true. Also for Achan, they claimed to be speaking truth when they confessed everything. And he did test them in that. The quality, when Elijah intervenes for the son of the widow of Zarephath, bringing the boy back to life, the boy's mother remarks that now she knows Elijah is a man of God, that the word of the Lord in his mouth is truth. So there's ways how the Lord shows us in action and also in testimony and witness. Witness, two or three witnesses, right? It comes about where we hear what truth really is, not what man says truth is. Now, I'm not saying every man is dishonest, but I think like man. So if I try to think and do things in my own way, I might miss it. I really need to know what God's truth is in every situation. Some of us, just touching on our finances, we have so many people that could show us and teach us when we're young how to handle our finances. They could speak truth to us. It's black and white or it's red. Right? Most of us live in the payday to payday. Why? Because we didn't listen to people that know that have the anointed gift of God and come and share and say, here's what you need to do, here's how much you make, here's what you pay, there's your means of living. Truth. It's so important that we come to see that truth in different ways that God shows us. In all the giftings of man, it really is a wonderful thing to have this. In Psalms, we hear from the psalmist that what the wicked do not speak truth, that's in Psalms 5:9, whereas the blameless one speaks truth from the heart, Psalm 15:2. the quality separate from God in which God serves by virtue and by his nature. In many instances, truth appears to be personified, and the psalmist will say to God, guide me in your truth. Psalm 25:5. He also asks, send forth your light and your truth to lead him. That's in Psalm 43:3. You see, we're seeking God to lead us, to guide us. We can ask God to show us. We can wait upon the Lord and say, Lord, I do want the truth in this situation in my life. Should I take this job? Should I not take this job? God will show you if it's right for you to take that job or not take that job. Should I move here or should I not move here? What should I do, Lord? When we do things, it may not be easy, but God will give us a peace when we seek him. Sometimes it's quick, sometimes it's slow. But he will answer our prayers and he will show us all truth. It's so, so awesome to hear this. The truth is to proceed from one's mouth, and wickedness is an abomination to the lips. That's Psalm 8:7. And the one who speaks truth gives honest evidence. That's 12:17. Psalm 12, verse 17. Truth is described as a commodity that one should purchase along with wisdom, instruction, and understanding. In Psalm 23:23. What's really interesting about this is I think about wisdom. I almost went into the wisdom part more in depth. I love the book of Proverbs. We are to seek wisdom. We can have a lot of knowledge. We can be trained up in whatever we do. But if we don't have the wisdom to handle that gift, wow, we can really mess it up. So we need the truth of God. So we seek wisdom. But that's not what the message is. The truth is what we want to receive. Even into our feelings, when we start relying on our feelings and not the word of God, which is truth and light, then we can make some pretty drastic mistakes. And that's the thing what God wants to show us right now. We are moving forward in victory. The rock is going to advance into the kingdom of God. We're going to reach out in the northwest, and we're going to touch lives. And people are going to come to know Jesus Christ. And they're going to know truth. They're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And there'll be power and excitement. I've often heard in the body of Christ, I've heard people say, well, you know, we don't want to create emotion. God is emotion. He has all the things. He has all the things that we have. Joy. He has anger. Righteous anger. He has those things. He's given us emotions and feelings. But we need to line them up with the word of God, all truth, not in our own selves. I've been raised with music all of my life. My uncles and my dad, most of them played two or three instruments. And as you know, there's only one kind of music. That's country, right? Oh, wait. That's right, yeah. And a little bit of rock and roll, yeah. And so I started dancing. And did you know I made money dancing at about 5 years old? Now, we weren't raised in a Christian home, so there were house parties, right? And there was partiers, and me being the little, however little I was, I got into step dancing and doing the old tap dance, you know. And I'd get out there and do that, and people would throw me money, quarters and whatever. Hey, what a way to start it. What a way to start. So I was raised in music. So you'll notice that oftentimes I'm not standing still when I worship. And even when I hear the word of God, sometimes I get a little excited, right? Because we were created to have celebration. And we were created to worship with emotion, with feelings. And I used to get upset because I could see my brothers being at the altar crying. I could not cry. I love God. I had the same desires as my brothers. To worship God. I'd go to a men's retreat or even in a service when an evangelist would come in, and there'd be brothers up there just snot rolling out, bawling, just full of the Holy Ghost, just ministering to him, and I'm sitting there. I could not cry. But I have since been able to cry a little bit. He softened my heart some way. I don't know where it needed it. But the truth is, it's the Holy Ghost that's going to lead you into that. Primarily, when we take a look in Proverbs, it seldom speaks of truth, but when it does, it defines it as a virtue that the person of God should practice. Truth is to proceed from one's mouth, and wickedness is abomination. That's Proverbs 8:7. And one who speaks truth gives honest advice. Again, that's 12:17. I think I went through those already. And Matthew, Mark, Luke scarcely use the word truth at all, while in John, it is an extremely significant term referring to Jesus and his ministry. Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you. And it talks about he is all truth. It's an exciting book to read about Jesus. John the Baptist was witness to truth. In John 5:33, Jesus speaks the truth, and for the Jews who seek to kill him, was in John 8:40. This is because the Jews who contended with Jesus were ultimately of their father, the devil, who has no truth in him whatsoever. John 8:44-46. Jesus describes himself as the way, the truth, and the life, and as such, he is the only means to the Father. John 14:6. Even when Jesus departs, the ministry of truth will continue because the Comforter, who is the Spirit of truth, in John 14:17, will be active both in the church as well as in the world. The Holy Spirit is active today in each one of you that knows Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. He didn't go away. He didn't leave you. He's with you at all times. The key to this whole thing is how you and I react to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Is that truth? How have you been reacting lately? How have you been sensing things going on in your life? We all have our good days and our bad days. You know, we're the children of God, and we still have burdens that come. We are attacked. We are challenged. But how are we handling it? When you get tired and weary, are you responding in your own steam or in the Holy Ghost fire? I was trying to figure out how to do the moonwalk because I wanted to show you how the Holy Spirit moves. Just smooth? Well, I'm no Michael Jackson, so I won't even try that. Lawrence? Yeah? The Holy Spirit is smooth. I sense, Marlene, God is just doing something in our lives, and we sense even more today how the Holy Spirit is moving in our lives. Why are we sensing it today? Probably a little more because we're more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We're more realizing, growing every day in Jesus. We start at a certain place, and we grow, and we get more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. There's no lightning bolts coming down. There's no thunder. There's nothing weird. It's just how he lives in our lives. Just, you know, you go like this. And just move, just smooth. It's not always smooth when we're reacting to ourselves, but God is doing something in your life as well. Really having us move forward. Well, Paul also uses truth to speak practically of all believers in moving things forward in the Lord. Believers are to speak with truth to one another in a loving manner as we grow up into submission to our head, namely Jesus. That's Ephesians 4:15. The importance of speaking truth to one another is underscored by the fact that we are members of one another. We're one body. So we need to speak truth to one another, walk in truth together, lift one another's arms when one is weak, right? Be open when somebody comes and says, no, God showed me this. Can I share this with you? You know, not knowing, you know, Chris could come to me, my son-in-law. You know how in-laws are. Well, it's his fault. But no, he can come to me. We have God talk, and he can share something that God showed him in my life that maybe I need to change or could grow. It's a beautiful thing. Just a small portion of how God described as being truth and bringing us is what we've just read. So, how shall we live? Have you ever asked, God, how am I supposed to live my life? How am I supposed to live my life? Where do I go from here, God? What do I do? What do I do? Over the years, so many people would come and ask the pastor or ask the evangelist, I'm struggling. I just know, how am I supposed to live my life? I want to encourage you, read the Word of God. It's pretty clear. And it's not necessarily easy, but it's pretty clear how we should live our lives, how we once lived our lives, but how we're to live our life today, how we're to move forward and continue to move forward and pick people up that need picking up and walk and encouraging people and celebrating Jesus. If you've been attacked, if you've lost the joy of the Lord in any way, shape, or form, rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Take the authority over that. That's a lie. That's not from God. He loves you. He wouldn't take your joy away. He wants to encourage you to live a life of joy, peace, the good things, while you're going through a hills and valleys and desert places at times. But he's always there. He really does. How do we begin our journey? We receive our salvation. It's a gift. You can't earn it. Just receive it. Right? So if you've done that, You're all good. If you haven't done that, you can do that today. And how do we gain the power and the blessing of God? Well, in John 14, 25 and 26, all this I've spoken to you while you still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit. He's our comforter. Guides us to all truth. At one time or another, we may go through a struggle and be attacked, beaten down, as I mentioned a few minutes ago. But today, when you got up, did you know that this is the first day of the rest of your life? And then tomorrow when you get up, tomorrow is going to be the first day of the rest of your life? And the next day is going to be the first day of the rest of your life? We don't need to be back here when I'm over there. In our hearts. We always want to be in today and moving forward in Jesus Christ. So here are some of the things that we take a look at on how we respond and what will bring fruit in our lives, good or bad. So we're going to look at these things. And we've been blessed to meet with Ron and Pam and Val, and we're going through what we call the New Arrival Kit. It's a new believer station that we have. And we're doing the study, and we're working on the Holy Spirit. Oh, man, God, just send a wave again. The Holy Spirit just, like we've never seen it before. We may have thought we've seen it, but Lord, I know you have something new. I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire, right? You can't cook your hot dogs on a cold fire. You got a beautiful fire pit with no flame, it's not going to cook your hot dog. But when we got the Holy Ghost that fills you with fire and the Spirit, and you're moving forward, getting victory over things you need to have victory over, wow. So here's how we can take a look at. Now, some of these things may have hit you recently, and there's four things we're going to look at. Here, what we can do. What can we do? We can resist the Spirit. In Acts 7, verse 51, we read about people who went through religious rites, but who had no sensitivity to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Whenever we clearly hear his voice speaking to us and we refuse to listen, we resist the Spirit. Wow. We have those days. I'm not going to deny that. We've had those, but we're over here now. Today is the first day of the rest of our lives. God, I do not want to resist what you have for me today. What do you have, Lord? Show me. We'll move forward. Now, we can also grieve the Spirit. In Ephesians 4, verses 30 and 32, if we have bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, or spitefulness, and ill will, we grieve the Holy Spirit. That's the word of God. We want to have life, joy, peace. That's the word of God as well in Galatians. We want to. What gift are we going to receive? We don't want to grieve the Spirit. We can also quench the Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, we can put out the Spirit's fire. It's a sad event when it ceases to burn within our hearts. Wow. And, you know, Marlene and I come home here in December. It's so good to be back. We saw there was some quenching of the Spirit in people's lives because of what things had happened. But now we're moving forward. We can see the lights coming on in different people's lives again. And the fire is beginning to, it's going to rise. You're going to be jumping up here. Pastor Mike will have to move the chairs back because the fire is going to be burning and people are going to be dancing in the Spirit and having joyous time in the Lord. There's going to be words of prophecy. And you know what? We have young people that just did a service for us a few weeks ago, and you could sense the Holy Spirit in that. Preachers coming out of the young people. And there were others that didn't preach that day, but they'll be preaching down the road. They'll be sharing the gospel with people and doing things all over the world. And we are like a conduit. You know, we want to hang on to some of these good people, but God has a plan for them. You could be here today, gone tomorrow, and I mean you could be going to Africa. We have Leilani's gone. We have Cassandra's going sometime in the future here when she's not sure what day. But God brings people in, and then he prepares them, and then he takes them, and somebody else comes in. And then we begin to build. And as the fire begins and the Holy Spirit begins moving in the northwest, the churches are going to fill. The churches are going to fill. Hallelujah. Because we're not going to quench the Spirit. Now here's the one I really wanted to get to. We can be filled with the Spirit. We can be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 5:18, the term for be filled is continuous verb. It does not stop. Paul said, be filled, be filled, be filled. Renew yourself daily in Christ. Be filled, be filled. Be transformed, transforming of your mind by getting renewed in Christ. Romans 12. We have a continuous thing coming our way. Wow. That's pretty powerful. And you're going to see some pretty powerful things happen here. I'm just going to make one comment here, and then I'll not go back to this again. This is just to set up our action for the future. I've kind of touched on it already. It's been introduced in recent sermons and in line with what Brother Mike said last Sunday. There has been much attack on the Rock Christian community, and the evil one has distracted many. But not to the full extent. You're still here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're still here. You're still in the body of Christ. You're still going to have more things to do. More people to love on. More care for one another. It's so important. John 8:30-36. Jesus said to them, you are truly my disciples if you live as I tell you to. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Seek the truth every day. Every day. You know, you got people like Tim and Chris are theologians, and they're in the Bible 24 hours and 24 and 7. Well, they'd like to be. You know, it is. We talk about busyness of life, and I can guarantee you we're busy. But are we too busy being busy? We have to make time for Jesus. We have to make time to dust off these books, open them up, and read them. We have to. It's our lifeline. Now, some of you may have those things called iPhones and iPads, but they have the Bible in them too. I found that out. I do know how to use them a little bit. 15 minutes a day, half an hour a day, 8 hours a day, whatever God leads you to do. But we have to be in the Word to be successful in our walk, to stand victorious and strong. And even in our weakness, Jesus makes us strong. Amen? So we're going to see that truth, and we will be set free. Now, this next portion of Scripture is in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm reading it out of the Message. It's called Wake Up from Your Sleep. Watch what God does and then do it, like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you, keep company with Him, and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious but extravagant. Wow. He didn't love us in order to get something from us, but to give everything of Himself to us. Love like that. Wouldn't that be amazing if you and I could love like that? Just to give everything to other people. Just to give our hearts freely because we know we have Jesus in us. They can do nothing to hurt us unless we receive it. So couldn't it be lovely just to be in that position? Now, these verses are telling us how we should live. Okay, so it says, don't allow love to turn to lust, setting off a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity, filthy practices, or bullying greed. Through some tongues, just love the taste of gossip. Those who follow Jesus have better uses for language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. Always thanking Jesus. Always thanking Jesus. Now, we might be considered a bit fanatic, right? But I'd rather be a little fanatic for Jesus than anything else, right? Don't let yourself get taken in by religious smooth talk. God gets furious with people who are full of religious sales talk, but wanting nothing to do with Him. Don't even hang around people like that. You groped your way from that murk once, but no longer. You're out in the open now. The bright light of Christ makes your way plain. So no more stumbling around. Get on with it. The good, the right, and the true. These are actions appropriate for daylight hours. Figure out what will please Christ and then do it. Don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work. The barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in the darkness where no one will see. Rip the cover of those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. So watch your steps. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. Don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God. Huge draughts of Him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything. Any excuse for a song to God, the Father, in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ. You see, there are so many books in the Bible that tell us how we should live. Here's how you used to live. Live like this today. Anybody that isn't sure, that comes to you and says, how am I supposed to live for God? Walk them through Ephesians. Walk them through Galatians. Walk them through John. Learn more about Jesus. Just encourage them. Just let the Spirit speak to your heart. I can't tell you how to live, but Jesus will. The Holy Spirit will lead you to that, reading these words. In relationships, one of the, out of respect for Christ, be courteous, reverent to one another. Wives, now this next few words here, please bear with me. Okay, wives, understand and support your husbands. Are they easy to understand? Well, she's not saying anything. Okay. So wives, understand, support your husbands in the way that shows your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife in the way Christ does his church. Not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ, as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Okay, so that was for the wives. Here's the man, right? Over here. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor, since they're already one in marriage. And no one abuses his own body, does he? No one feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are part of his body. And this is why a man leaves his father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is this way Christ treats the church. And this provides a good picture of how husbands, each husband, is to treat his wife, loving himself in loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband. In our relationships, in our marriages, as family, brothers and sisters, we need to do that, right? We need to love each other as Christ loves the church, dying for one another, dying to our ways, and giving to the other person. You know, as the Holy Spirit leads us to walking in truth, we see how we should live our lives. And the benefit of living that way, it's awesome. To talk with John and Eloise, who are coming this week, just to hear their life story and their testimony through the being attacked and then the healing process they went through, it was no easy thing. But you just sense when you're on the phone with that man, how the Holy Ghost is living through him, and how love is so paramount in his life. God's love flowing through him. It's going to be an exciting time. But for you and I, wanting to walk in truth, this word is truth. This word is life. This word is encouragement. The steps are not always easy, but they're always doable. There is nothing in this word that you cannot do. Somebody says, it's not me. You know? Well, I don't dance. I can't dance. I have good timing. It's not me. I can't teach. I'm no good at teaching. That's not me. Hallelujah! It's got to be the Holy Ghost. When he sets your feet to dancing, you're going to dance like you've never danced before. And you know what? I know people that don't have good timing, but when they dance the joy of the Lord in them, it's a beautiful thing. So we just want to move in that truth. In Romans 12, Kenny shared this last Sunday. Let's read it again. 1 and 2. You've heard it many times, but really it could be a baseline for whatever you do. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. Isn't that beautiful? In a world, in a country, in a province, in a city, where there's so much confusion out there, when our leaders are confused, our leaders that we see going around the country, going around the world, and not just our leaders, but of other countries, watching what's going on. It's chaos. But you and I have the peace of God. We have a firm foundation. We stand on this word. The reality is, Canada is going to prosper in Jesus' name. Amen? Your marriages are going to be strong in Jesus' name. You notice I didn't ask, God, please make my marriage strong. He wants your marriage to be strong. He's telling you you are one in your marriage. Any lie that comes to you that says it's going to break your marriage or you're going to be unsuccessful. You know, you want to be a carpenter, but you had struggled with math. And somebody says, well, if you can't do math, you can't be a carpenter. Who says? God's told me I'm going to be a carpenter. If God's told me I'm going to be a carpenter, I will be a carpenter. Right? Now, I'm going to learn how to do the math. I'm going to learn how to read a measuring tape. I'm going to learn how to cut angles. I'm also going to learn how to cut a straight line. But I am going to do that in Jesus' name. Not in Randy's name. In Jesus' name. Whatever God has for you, you can do it. People will read this word and says, I can't do that. When God tells them, you've got to do this. I can't walk this way. Who's speaking to you? God spoke to you here. If God says you can do it, you can do it. That's truth. We all have different giftings, and we're going to move into those different giftings. But it's not you doing it. It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit flowing through you, coming in. Coming in and giving you victory over that. When we start walking in this and we start moving forward, you're going to see some things happen like in the rock that's never happened for many years or maybe never ever happened before. It's going to be powerful. We've seen it beginning now. We've had some services where the Holy Ghost just came in. You could just see the spirits being lifted up. Okay, all the people were just worshiping the Lord, receiving. The word is preached. Amen. Respond to the word of God. Respond to the word of God. I love it. Now, before Chris tells me I've only got 10 minutes left, I'm almost got like 2, 3. He was my timekeeper. The reason I asked him, he doesn't have a watch. Yeah. Closing prayer. One of the things that I love about Psalm 25, and we touched a little bit on a couple verses out of Psalm 25. You could make this your prayer, but it goes like this, and starting in verse 1 to verse 7. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. But shame will come to those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long. I just want to touch on that. Not when I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Not when I go down to Timmy's for coffee at 11. Not when I go to work at Rio Tinto, Canadian Tire, or anywhere else. Not when I'm having supper. Not just when I'm laying down going to bed. He says here, my hope, Lord, is in you all day long. It sounds like a song. All day long. I know there is a. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. It's interesting in there. The Holy Spirit just tweaked my mind. Do not remember my sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. So if I'm asking God not to remember them, why on earth would I remember them? God, don't remember my sins of my youth. I've confessed him to you. I put him at the blood at the cross, foot of the cross, in the name of Jesus, and he sees them no more. Why would I recall them? That's where our minds need to be renewed daily in Christ. Right? Everything that's under the blood, we're not to look back then. Remember I said we were here? Now we're here. Now we're here. Now we're here. And we're going to keep stepping forward. I'm going to turn so I'm stepping forward. Right? We're going to keep going forward. Not backwards. Hallelujah. My prayer for you is that you are able to share that truth with yourselves, with your family, with your friends. When they come to you, my truth is this. Say, does your truth line up with this? If your truth doesn't line up with this, it's not truth. Right? When they say, you got to follow me and I'll take you somewhere. Are you following them, or is Jesus leading you to go there? Doesn't matter where it is. I can tell, not only because I've got another 136 hours in my contract with Rio Tinto, I could work that right through till those 136 hours and get paid for those 136 hours. But I can tell my time on that project is coming to an end. The Lord has just shown me a little bit day by day. This has changed, that's changed. And I have been successful through the grace of God in doing what I was meant to do. And it could finish this week. It might go to 136, but am I following God in it? I need to follow him and say, Lord, is my time done? Okay, everything's here. Check, 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 check. Okay, Lord. And then I would talk to Breanne, my supervisor there at the wharf, and say, you know, we have been successful here. We're here. I'll keep coming if you want me to, but really, I think we're done. You're ready to go. If we're successful, God shows us when to step back and when to step out of things and step into things. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.